Good morning. This is Pastor Richard. I hope all is well. And again, I would like to thank everyone for the prayers. I'm doing much better than the last two Sundays. And again, thank you so much for prayers. I can tell people have been praying for me. Well, I miss you all. This is, I think, is our sixth Sunday, not being able to meet as a congregation in the church. I miss you all, and I'm looking forward to us getting back together again soon. So hopefully before the month of May is over, I hope that we're able to meet again in church. But until then, I'll continue to do the messages online. Today, we're starting in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So let's get started. Take out your Bibles, smartphones, tablets or laptops, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at the first verse. But before I start, at the close of 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter was telling his readers that it was through suffering that Jesus was able to not only save us from our sins, he also reigns over all the hostile angelic powers. What he was saying to his readers then goes for us even today. Even though we may be suffering, we must always remember that Jesus still reigns and rules. It is during that time we should never stop trusting him. He has not surrendered us as believers into the powers of the evil forces, even if the believer suffers death. Jesus is still in control. By Jesus dying and raising from the dead, plus ascending back to heaven, demonstrated that he conquered all the demon forces. That means we that believe on him and trust in him will reign with him. Peter knew how important it was for them to understand this. Though they were suffering, yet they would end up having total victory through Jesus Christ. Like I said, that goes for us today, whether it's sickness unto death or dying because one stood for Christ. Victory belongs to those who believe on the name of Jesus Christ. So, pray with me. Father God, I just thank you so much again for your word, Lord, and how empowering it is for us who believe in your name. Lord, there's a times in our lives we do not understand why we have to suffer, why we have to go through the things that we have to go through if we're called the children of God. And yet, Lord, we must remember even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered. And it was through his suffering, through his death, and his resurrection, Lord, that he conquered all forces. We thank you, Father God, for your love and your kindness that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Though we may suffer here, Lord, does not mean that we've been defeated, because we live within and trust in he who have conquered all things, both on heaven, in heaven and on earth. So, Father, as we go through these verses, Lord, may we find comfort in them. May those who are going through trials and tribulations or that are sick or whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray, Lord, that these verses will help them through today, Lord, will give them hope, will replenish their hope, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless us as we go through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in verses 1 of chapter 4, Peter starts it off by saying, therefore. Now, follow me to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with the first verse. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So now that Peter has explained to his readers about the sufferings of Christ and how they too will suffer because of Christ, can now rest assured that because Jesus has conquered all the evil forces, should remember that it was through his suffering that he was able to conquer all things, and now he has the power over heaven and earth, that as believers that we can overcome things through him. His suffering has given us victory over the flesh and the demon forces that may go against us. Paul said in Romans 8:37 through 39, starting with the 37th verse, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." If no one can successfully oppose us, which means charge us, or condemns us with regard to our personal relationship with God, then it follows that no one can separate us from Christ's love for us. So the list in this verse covers the full range of experiences that could seem to pose a challenge to the reality of Christ's love. The trials and difficulties listed in verse 35 not only do not separate us from Christ's love, they make us more than conquerors by forcing us to depend even more on God. So, absolutely, nothing can separate believers from God's love. The apostle struggles for words to describe the absolute certainty of God's love for believers. Nothing hard or dangerous, neither death nor life, can separate us. So if God, the uncreated one, is for us, and no created thing can separate us, then our security in him is absolute. Suffering helps us to be Christ-like. You know what? But to be Christ-like, we must arm ourselves with his mindset. And in his mind, his will was to do the will of his Father, God. In Philippians 2:5, it tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And as you continue to read on in Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that Jesus was the bondservant and was in the likeness of man. He was humble and he was obedient to God even when it came time for him to suffer death. He continued to be obedient. It said even unto death he continued to be obedient, where he would die on the cross. So if our mind is like Christ, then we will not be ruled by our flesh, but by the Holy Spirit of God. We are then able to live for Christ through the good, bad, and the ugliness that the world may take us through. We are able to overcome sin and suffering when we keep our minds focused on Christ and what he wants us to do. It's not always the good life that tells us where we stand with Christ. It is usually during the time when we are facing sufferings and dangers. We must always remember that some of us may suffer more than others. As Christians, we may suffer for doing good, and yet we are to continue to stay faithful and to continue to be obedient to Christ our Lord. So being faithful to Christ proves our faithfulness despite of our suffering, despite the trials and tribulations. As believers, we must continue to remember the great battles that we may face in the natural or in the spiritual that tries to enslave us. We must remember that because of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. We live and cease from sinning because of him. And we do that by arming our minds to be like him. That will give us the power not to live according to the flesh, like during the time when we were in our sins. From our rebirth in Christ to now, we are told to live the rest of our lives living in the will of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and looking for him to return. Follow me now to verse 3. "For we have spent enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." So what this verse is saying here is that in the past, we spent a lot of time living in sin. So Peter says doing the will of the Gentiles, meaning living as unbelievers in sin, like living in constant sin. Peter is writing to some who, before their conversion, had lived in all the moral corruption of the Gentile world. There had been enough of that kind of life. They've lived that life. Now, as Christians, we and they are new creatures, and the old sins should be abandoned. We should walk away from them. Now that we have walked away from sin and accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, the remaining years of our life now belongs to God, and our lives should be totally be given over to Him. The sins listed point to the life of the Gentile or non-Christian world back then, and even points to today, like the sins of sex, liquor, and false religion. He had mentioned the words lewdness, which means it's unrestricted indulgence, primarily in sexual immorality. Lust has to do with self-gratification of unlawful appetites of any kind, but in this verse, it's referring especially to sexual sins. And then there's drunkenness. This is when a person allows him or herself to become totally under the control of intoxicating beverages with the resulting weakening of willpower to resist temptation. There's a close link between drunkenness and immorality. Revelries, which is wild parties and late night merrymaking, drinking parties, drinking bouts, which leads to corruption and fights, abominable idolatries, the worship of idols with all the immorality that is associated with such worship. But now that we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We have been transformed from being dead to being alive in Christ. Our old condition is now behind us, and our new condition is now before us. Verses 1 through 3 provide four reminders of our new condition that will help all of us arm our minds to live in this hostile world. 1, we no longer serve sin as our master. 2, we don't spend our days overwhelmed by desires. 3, we've opened the door to the will of God. 4, we've closed the door on ungodliness. So, we should not overlook the strong differences between the will of God and the lust of men. Peter said that the time has already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. Quoting Chuck Swindoll, he said, in a certain sense, all believers have in their lives a BC and an AD, before Christ and after Christ. Peter saw year 1 as the moment of conversion, officially marked by baptism. Before this spiritual birthday, the old person lived out the old course of life: sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Peter's list isn't exhaustive, but it paints a picture of what many believers' BC years were like. When we consider that most people in the world still live in the BC period, it shouldn't surprise us that they expect everybody to speak their foul language, follow their distorted mindset and custom, and uphold their corrupt cultural values. When we don't conform, they notice. When we allow our transformation to play out on the stage of life, we'll stand out from the rest of the crowd by the fact that we don't participate in their self-indulgent escapades. End of quote. And quoting David Guzek, he said, when we look at this list, lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, we see first how little fallen man has progressed in the last 2,000 years. These problems have not been solved in the time since Peter wrote this letter. End of quote. Peter warned against drunkenness. Some Christians consider the mere taste of fermented beverage as a sin that strokes the fires of hell. There are Christians who do enjoy the taste of alcohol beverages. Sometimes they drink at parties or social events or family celebrations. So one may ask, which lifestyle is right? You see, Christian prohibition is part of a heritage that wants to say no to worldly excess and customs. It wants to say we're different. Christian enjoyment of alcohol beverages is part of a tradition that goes back to Cana, John 2, and Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:23, and nearly every Bible character except Samson in Judges 13:14 and John the Baptist. Peter counseled against drunken loss of control, not against alcoholic beverages itself. He warned against a lifestyle that abandons all restraint in the pursuit of pleasure. Let each Christian follow the Bible's counsel first, then respect community customs and guard consciousness without second-guessing another's choice. But anyway, the point is that we are to be different and not weird. We are to be like Christ, allowing our lives to yield to the new will that no longer wants to follow the will of the flesh, but seeks the will of God. We are to step completely out of the flesh and step into the will of God, as Christ did when he was here with us on earth. Paul tells us in Romans 8:13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." He's not talking about physical death, because those who live according to the Spirit also die physically. He's talking about the experience of those who live their lives apart from God. But when he says by the Spirit, it's about walking according to the Spirit and being spiritually minded as believers. We can put to death sinful deeds and live for God. If we live that way, that is what makes us different. But to the world, we could look strange. Now follow me to verse 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, meaning corruption, speaking of evil of you. So unsaved people do not understand the radical change that they may see in us, that they see, especially when it's their friends. They see their friends no longer living as they were, but now they see and hear that they're trusting in God. And they're saying that now they are children of God because God has changed their lives. They do not think it strange when people wreck their bodies or destroy their homes and ruin their lives by running from one sin to another. But let a drunkard become sober or an immoral person pure, and the family thinks he has lost his mind. Even Festus told Paul, "You are out of your mind," in Acts 26:24. And people even thought the same about Jesus in Mark 3:21. I've actually heard people say things to people who have given their lives to Christ. I've even heard it even applied to me. "What do you mean you don't do that? Come on, you mean God doesn't want you to have fun?" And then there's, "So, you think you're some kind of a saint now? You think you're above everybody? You think you're better than we are? What's wrong with you?" And they do. They think that something's wrong with us. And actually, there isn't. We're better now. They're still in the wrong. We're in the right. Not because of who we are, but because who we are in Christ Jesus. So when we don't participate in the sins around us, we convict those who practice their sin, and they don't like that. So they speak evil against us. So what it comes down to is this. Either you're going to please God or you're going to please men. And if you're pleasing men, you will not please God. The Lord Jesus even said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." John 15:18. So if the world does not hate you, then there's something totally wrong. I don't believe that a person can continue to live as a sinful life if they're a child of God. You know why? Because you have the nature of Christ. You're joined to him. He suffered down here once. He is suffering no more. But he can help you and I. He sent the Holy Spirit down to indwell in those who are his own, meaning he dwells in us. We have been baptized into the body of believers, as Peter has pointed out to us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can live for God. We cannot do it on our own strength, but in the strength that he has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Follow me now to verse 5. "They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." You know, the unsaved may judge us now, but one day God will judge them. So instead of arguing with them, we should pray for them, knowing that the final judgment is with God and not with us. This was the attitude that Jesus took, and also Paul, the apostle. You'll see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. Now follow me to verse 6. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. For this reason, meaning because of the coming judgment, the gospel was preached. God wants the gospel preached to all men, and if people continue to refuse to hear the gospel or respond to the gospel, he makes it very clear that they are already dead in trespasses and sins, and they will be judged as men in the flesh. But if they accept Christ, they can live according to God in the Spirit. The Lord Jesus said in John 5:24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." At the time of the death of Lazarus, Jesus told Martha in John 11:25-26, he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked her, "Do you believe this?" So Jesus is the real deal. What he did on Calvary will change the direction of one's life and destiny. When we heard his word and believed in him as being our Lord and Savior, we died to sin and was made alive in him. He truly is the resurrection of life. Ephesians 2:1 says this, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were spiritually dead. Paul went on to say in Ephesians 2, verses 2-3, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Peter is saying the same thing here in this verse. The gospel is being preached, and when the gospel is being preached, two things happen. Some accept it, and if they accept it, they are going to live for God and live throughout eternity. Others reject it, and those who reject the gospel are the men and women who are dead in sins and are dead to God throughout eternity, meaning that they have no relation to him whatsoever. So in closing, our family and friends may judge us harshly because of our life in Christ, and we may even lose their love for us on the way. But if we keep our eyes upon Christ and seek to do his will, we will one day see him face to face. And that is what I look so forward to doing, is seeing our Lord face to face and to hear him say, "Well done." So let us walk according to the Spirit, and God will give us strength and a peace that no one can take away, no matter what's going on. Even the COVID-19 will not be able to take this away from us. Yes, suffering as a believer can make our walk in Christ stronger if our minds are armed with his mind. You know, I'm like you. I don't like to suffer. But if it is the tool that he has chosen for me to stay strong, then may I be weak. Here's the conclusion about these six verses. After Paul had prayed three times about a problem he was facing, he called it a thorn in the flesh. He knew where the source of the problem was coming from. It was coming from Satan. This is what he shares with us about what the Lord had told him. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9-10, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most assuredly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have just read one of the greatest spiritual truths in all scriptures. God's strength is made perfect, complete, mature in our weaknesses. Verse 10 expresses it again in summary fashion. For when I am weak, then I, through Christ's power, am strong. Amen? And see, that's what I want us to remember. That's what I want to remember. Is that no matter what we're going through, no matter how weak we may feel, as long as we keep our mind on Christ, as Christ kept his mind on God, we are able to go through these things. And even though there are times we may feel that we're losing, in all reality, we have already won because we are in Jesus Christ. He has overcome all things, both in heaven and on earth. And so we have the victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. May God bless you all. Father God, I thank you so much for these verses. They are so encouraging to us, Lord. Lord, there are many that may read about you and they may see a man that was weak, and yet you were not weak. You were as a lamb. And Lord, we know what the prophecies have said, that you would be like a lamb to the slaughter. You would be led as a lamb to the slaughter. But Lord, when you died on that cross, when you were buried, when you rose again, you rose in victory. And now you sit on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And we thank you so much for that. So Lord, may we always remember that even when we're going through the good, the bad, the ugly, the trials and the tribulations, sickness or whatever, or even when we come to the point it's time for us to die, when we are in you, we have total victory. Continue, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to give us peace of mind, peace of heart, even in this COVID-19 situation that is going through, that we're going through. May our hearts and our minds stay upon you. Let not fear, Lord, overtake us. Let our eyes continue to be affixed upon you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.